Good morning. We have 35 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. The time coming up on 8:50, and it's time for the pre-opening market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. current account deficit fell to its lowest level since 2010. In the July through September period, mainly because the value of goods imported into the country fell. The broad measure of U.S. international transactions registered a shortfall of $107.51 billion during the third quarter. AgRural today pegs Brazil's 2012-13 soybean crop at 82.2 million metric tons. Harvest begins in some parts of Mato Grosso and Paraná next month. The biggest question mark is over the size of the crop in Rio Grande do Sul, the number three soybean-producing state. Last year, the state's crop was hurt by drought, and this year, some spots have been dry again. However, AgRural still predicts a crop of 11.6 million metric tons, up 78% from last year's drought year. Private exporters reported to USDA this morning cancellations of export sales of 300,000 metric tons of soybeans to China during the 2012-13 marketing year. Also, we had unknown destination cancellations of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans for 2012 and 13, and 110,000 metric tons of soybeans were sold to unknown destinations for 2012-2013. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 13,257. It's up 22 points. The NASDAQ, 3,023, up 13. The S&P 500, 1,433, up 3 1/3 points.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Leonard.
Two storm systems will be moving across the Midwest over the next week to 10 days, and each will contribute a little bit more moisture to the region, helping to improve some of the runoff and river and stream flow situation across the region. We will expect the first storm system to be in the plains tomorrow. It's likely to become a mini blizzard across portions of western Kansas and eastern sections of Colorado, maybe north or southwest portions of Nebraska. The storm system will move from the central plains into the upper Midwest, impacting Iowa, Wisconsin, and southeastern sections of Minnesota. We'll probably see a lot of 2 to 6 inch accumulations occur across this path. It could be something a little bit greater. It might be a lot of areas that see amounts of, probably up to 4 inches, I would imagine. This particular storm system will carry moisture totals in hard red winter wheat country running up to 1/4 inch. Some local 4/10 inch amounts may occur in a few pockets. The storm system, as it moves into the Midwest, will have a little bit bigger impact on the upper parts of the region. Moisture totals there will run anywhere from a couple tenths to 3/4 inch, perhaps. And there may be enough precipitation in a few locations that we could end up seeing a little bit of an increase in runoff, especially after the storm system that preceded it this past weekend brought a little bit of a boost to topsoil moisture. The storm system, though, will be fairly quick moving, and so for that reason, we aren't going to see a lot of the bigger amounts of snowfall and the bigger moisture totals, but nevertheless, it'll still bring some opportunity for relief across the portions of the region. The greatest precipitation will continue to be in two areas. One is, again, from Iowa to Wisconsin. The second will probably be in portions of the eastern Midwest. Michigan may also see a fair amount of moisture from this particular event. The second storm system is a very large event that the models have been trying to advertise now for several days. It needs to be closely monitored because it does occur during the Christmas holiday, and it may have an impact on travel in and out of the Midwest and also in parts of the plains. Precipitation totals in the pure model data could be in the range of 1 to 3 inches from parts of the Delta into the Tennessee River Basin and eastern Midwest. At least that's what's been advertised this morning in the model data. I think there's a fair chance the storm will be a little less impressive than that, but nevertheless, it's obviously going to bring enough precipitation that runoff would be significant, and the river flows in the Ohio Basin and parts of the Tennessee and lower Mississippi basins would likely increase. The northwest half of the Midwest would likely see moisture totals on this bigger system running anywhere from a half inch to maybe as much as an inch and a half. I think that, again, a lot of caution is necessary here. It's probably going to be more likely a quarter to three quarters of an inch with some local amounts in the 1 to 1.5 inch range. And if that is the case, it's still going to be enough precipitation to improve the runoff potential. Some of that's going to occur as heavy snow, though it will be locked up in the topsoil on top of the soil for a little while. But when we get into some melting conditions later this winter, we'll probably see that work its way into the river systems. Temperatures across the region over these next few days are going to be trending cooler. It will be warmer than normal yet for a few more days in the eastern Midwest. Highs today will run mostly in the 40s and 50s across a big part of the Midwest, with some upper 20s and 30s in the northwest. Tomorrow we'll see a 50 and a few 60-degree readings in the southernmost parts of the eastern Midwest, while 40s occur in Michigan and parts of northern sections of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, while 20s and 30s still continue in the northwest part of the Corn Belt. And then after that, as we move on into the Thursday-Friday time period, a surge of cold air will come into the northwestern, or actually most of the western Midwest, with temperatures only in the teens and 20s on Thursday afternoon in those areas west of the Mississippi River. Some of that cold air will cross the river and moderate somewhat on Friday, and we'll wait for a bigger surge of cold to come in during the latter part of the Christmas holiday, and that'll be impacting the western areas first. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Let's look at the electronic trade. In Kansas City, March wheat is trading at 852.5, down 3.75. July, 869.5, down 4.25. March wheat in Chicago, 803.25, down 4.75. July, 820.5, down 6.75. March corn, 717, down 7. July, 718.5, down 6.5. December of 13 at 618.5, down 3.5. January soybeans, 1474, down 22.25. July, 1431, down 20.75. November of 13 at 1308.5, down 10.5. January soybean meal, 447.20, down 8.20. January soybean oil, 49.34, down 45. December live cattle, 129.02.5, up 2.5. January feeders, 154.42.5, now 37.5, up 12.5. February lean hogs, 85.02.5, up 27.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, the export picture for soybeans got a little bit less rosy this morning with the announcements that 310,000 metric tons of beans are headed back here.
Yeah, that's all right. We've shipped out so many of them that we're still way ahead of schedule.
But it does impact futures, and futures took a pretty significant nosedive today.
Oh, yeah, we're down 22 on beans right now. I've been down another 4, and that does make the market move. And, you know, we'll have something move it the other way down the road. But we're down 22 right now, been down 26 on the beans. Yesterday wasn't a very good day either. We were down 3 to 4 after being up over 15 in the Januarys and Marches, and here we are after being over 15 yesterday at 1460s and 70s. So, yeah, not a good day today. I think down the road we'll have better days. But, you know, sending back that many of them or canceling that many of them does affect the market adversely.
And is that dragging wheat and corn down to some degree?
I think corn and wheat were on their own down. I mean, yesterday we had corn down 6 to 7. We're 50-some off of last week's high on corn, and on wheat, the same thing. Good moisture supposedly coming to part of our wheat belt. Had corn down, or wheat down 6 yesterday. Today we've only got wheat down another 5 and corn down another 7. So that's not helping any. It's probably helping hold them down, but they've pretty much been on their own lately. The bean thing here will help hold them from going anywhere higher, probably helping the poor exports that we've had lately on both.
The way I'm looking at the charts on the March chart composite, $7.14 is the bottom of a channel, a sideways channel, been keeping an eye on. We're knocking on that door for a seventh time. Sooner or later, we're going to break that door.
Well, you would think we would. We hit 15 and a quarter, and like you said, it's the seventh time we've been down there. We got to remember, though, when, once we get close, we've been also back up to 767, and we've pushed that door 4 or 5 times up towards the 770. So are we going to go through both doors eventually? I think we will. I think we'll go through the bottom one. I think we'll go through the top one.
Thank you much, Pete.
Thank you, Dave.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. A current look at some of the contracts. March corn, 717 down 7. July, 718 and a quarter down 6 and 3 quarters. January soybeans are 1474 down 22 and a quarter. July is 1431 and a half down 20 and 1 quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 9:01 Central Time.